Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Coming up later, if you do just one thing in 2019, what would local environment and wildlife activists ask you to do? Well, we'll hear from a few. But one thing many environmental organisations would like us to do is to cut down our consumption of meat and dairy products. And one way to kickstart this trend is to try cutting out animal products for just a month. Now, it's been nicknamed Veganuary, but have we reached peak veganism? Was it just a phase that we went through? Last week, I spoke to Tara from Tara's Vegan Treats to find out what her impression is. Tara, thank you so much for joining me. Now, veganism really lifted off in 2018. Do you think it's just a fad that's kind of going to lose favour a bit in 2019?
That's a really interesting question, actually. And I think a lot of people do perceive it as a fad. As obviously in popular culture, the vegan is known as the yoga practicing, airy fairy, you know, maybe slightly judgmental, aloof character. But actually, there's a lot of mainstream vegans now in society that people can look up to and idolize, even if it's just for some tips or how to live your life as a vegan, and actually view it as a lifestyle instead of just a diet or something that you might want to, something superficial that maybe you want to say you are to seem a certain type of person. I think the vegans that I, certainly the vegans I have at my stall, the customers, they it's their life. It's something that they think about with everything they do. So it's not really a fad. I think they'd be quite offended by the word, actually. But okay. I do see why it's...
So it's not just something that's kind of for the avocado-eating liberal elite. This is kind of something we should probably more of us be thinking about, do you think?
Yeah, I think when I was vegetarian, I definitely, you do understand that sort of mockery of vegans who just eat kale and salads and avocados and think they're better than everyone else and it's only for the middle and upper class. But actually when you're in it and you're in that community, you realise that it's your average Joe. It's, you know, again, going back to the customers I have vegans who have been vegan for 30, 40 years. They were vegan, you know, during the war. They had to import their soy milk to have a cup of tea. It's not a big deal. It's not something they have to show off. And they're certainly not only wealthy people who like to show off about eating avocados. It's such a stigma that I think does need to be broken down because, you know, you can eat beans on toast and be a very...
Absolutely.
I'd say normal person, but yes, you know what I'm trying
that's
to say.
That's an excellent point. So, Tara, just could you tell us why you're vegan? What's your motivation?
My motivation is very much just alleviating any pressure that we do put on animals and all the suffering that's inflicted on them just for the purpose of a meal at the end of the day. I was vegetarian for about 12 years. And then it was just the difference between watching a few videos about the dairy industry and other parts of my diet that I thought, you know, caused no harm to animals, but actually were equivalent to eating meat in terms of the suffering that that the animals experience. So, yeah, I think once I watched those videos and educated myself a bit further, there was just I couldn't unknow the facts that I knew. And then I tweaked my diet and realized it was still just as easy. And I haven't looked back.
Okay, so Veganuary, give veganism a go for just a month. Do you think this is a good idea? Could this work for people, do you think?
I think it's a really good idea because it's a short-term goal, and I think people get very scared at the thought of, oh, I can never ever have cheese again, what am I going to do? However, like with anything in life, if you take small steps and you just think day to day, oh, it's only January that I can't have, you know, a burger or whatever, and then throughout that month you realise that you're so satisfied by other types of food and alternatives, by February you're thinking, well, I don't miss it, so should I just carry this thing on? Even if it starts as a fad, I'm in favour of that, because whatever works to stop the animals being treated in the way that they are, that's great.
Okay.
Progress.
I mean, do you think there's any misconceptions about being vegan? I mean, you mentioned the cheese there. Obviously, that doesn't fit into the vegan diet. Do you think we kind of think it's a very fussy diet, for example?
Yeah, it's really... God, there's so much stigma surrounding being vegan. And I think, as I said before, your typical vegan caricature is this judgmental, oh, you'll know a vegan if they... because they'll tell you and all of this. And actually, it's just so far from the truth. All the vegans I know, all they a successful day to them is getting through the day without having to talk about it, having to justify why they do what they do, going to a restaurant with all their friends and family who aren't vegan and just fitting in, being able to order what they want and no one notice and not everything being under scrutiny because you're doing it for your beliefs. You don't always want to, unless obviously that conversation is, if you're, if someone requests that information or shows an interest, then you offer, you know, what your knowledge and your experience, just like with anything in life.
But shouldn't feel that you have to justify what you're doing all the time.
It's not reversed. It's like as soon as I'm asked about my values and beliefs and being a vegan, as soon as I respond and it's not even remotely negative, it's just the truth about why I am, etc., you can be perceived as shoving your ideas down their throats. And I just think that's really, it's just hypocritical because vegans have to go throughout their whole life with, you know, KFC billboards, the whole institution of education, food technology, the five parts of your diet that you should be eating, a large proportion of that is meat, you can only get your protein from meat, and all these things that are conditioned, you know, a lot of us grew up eating meat, and that's the reason, because those ideas were shoved down our throats, but we never...
So there are, there's some things that, you know, you do have to give up with a vegan diet, but obviously there's plenty of good stuff there as well. What do you think are the highlights of being vegan?
The highlights are feeling like you're making a change. Sounds really cliched, but it's nice knowing that you're doing something to try and, you know...
make the world a bit better, perhaps.
Yeah, sounds really cliche, but it is what I mean. It is, truly, because, you know, that guilt, you don't feel that anymore, and you think, God, actually, I can make a change, and it hasn't impacted me it hasn't impacted me at all. Also, I think experimenting, like, you get... so cooking gets so much more interesting all of a sudden because you actually have to think. You can be a lot more inventive, and it's just nice passing on those tips to other people, recipes, and even like your wardrobe changes. You know, my makeup bag has changed completely because now my products don't test on animals, don't contain beeswax or shellac and whatever it is. So your life just changes, but it's an interesting journey. You know you're doing it for the right reasons, and it can be fun.
Yeah, so there's a bit of fun to be had in there. How about, just in case we need a bit of perking up, Tara's vegan treats, what kind of treats do you sell?
So right now it's like overwhelmingly festive. So we've got deconstructed mince pies, I've got mulled wine, hot cocoa, loads of festive treats. But in the new year, it will be, obviously I'll contribute to what I imagine the interest in veganuary will have. So I'll be doing fresh curries, lots of comforting food because it will still be really cold, obviously. We do mac and cheese, meatless meatballs. I like to have a sort of a few mock meat options just for those people who are transitioning or perhaps doing veganuary and they're missing that texture or that something similar to meat. So I'll have a few of those options. So, yeah, just a wide variety of
And what kind of things do you find are most popular with your clients?
Mac and cheese has just taken off. I think it's because it's something that people just miss so much since turning vegan, that creamy texture and being able to emulate it without having actual dairy.
Yeah, and you manage that successfully with what you sell. So there are vegan alternatives, even to some things which seem to be right at the heart of dairy and things like that. Well, Tara, thank you very much indeed for sharing your enthusiasm for veganism. And, well, we look forward to hearing some more about your delicious treats in 2019. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Tara from Tara's Vegan Treats. So cutting out at least some animal products is a great idea. And even if veganuary is a step too far, then perhaps you could opt for meat-free Mondays and see how that goes. But what else could you do? If you're looking to up your environmental game in 2019, just do a bit more for the planet, what could you do? What other simple steps could you take to make the world just a little bit better for us and the other things living in it and sharing it? Well, Frieda Rumenhol from Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife, she's got a simple request.
If you do one thing in 2019, then invite a hedgehog to your garden by drilling a hole through your fence or your hedge.
OK, just remind us how big that hole needs to be.
It's really small, maybe 10, 15 centimetres so that a hedgehog can just pass through. Hedgehogs use as the habitat they use a whole sort range of gardens, so it's not just one garden. And by creating these so-called hedgehog highways, you can make your neighbourhood hedgehog friendly.
Okay, that's a nice, easy, practical thing we can do for wildlife there. Thank you, Frieda. That was quite an easy thing, isn't it? And if you can persuade your neighbours to join in as well, well, so much the better. And there are so many other simple things you can do in your garden, no matter how small, to help the animals who live there. The Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust have some lovely ideas on their website. Search for HMWT, or you can go and take a look at their wildlife garden down at Grebe House down in Verulamium Park and see how they've put their advice into practice. So Matt Dodds, also from the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust, he had another idea.
Do one thing in 2019, I would advise you go and find yourself a starling murmuration, which is basically when a big flock of starlings comes together, and then just before they go to roost at night, they all fly around in a massive sort of flying storm of starlings. So that's what I would advise you do. Get on the internet, find out where a starling murmuration is near you and go and see it.
So Matt, why do you think that's such a good thing to do?
It's one of the most spectacular things you can see in this country. They're like, it's like a cloud of starlings all moving like smoke together, like a big shoal of fish in the air with often you get predators associated with them as well that come in and try and take the starlings away. But you have to see it to believe it. It's like a moving, living thing, but like a massive cloud of starlings. Fantastic to see.
OK, so a wonderful spectacle we should all experience at one point in our lives.
Definitely.
Fantastic, this isn't it? And of course, we affect the natural world in so many ways. Matt there, he did a bit more of the David Attenborough approach, didn't he? Perhaps if we see the wonders of the nature and that our behaviour is threatening these wonderful wonders, then we're more likely to change our ways. And that approach certainly seemed to work with David Attenborough and Blue Planet 2 and other programmes that he's had. So sometimes it's the way that we affect the natural world is a little bit more subtle. It's just a matter of being a little bit more mindful about things that we're doing in everyday life. Now, Tim Hill, who will be explaining some of the great work that the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust are doing with migrating waterfowl next week, has a request here.
In Hertfordshire, we have one of the rarest habitats in the world, our globally rare chalk rivers. The River Lea and its tributaries are all chalk systems, and they're dependent on water, which comes from the aquifer, which underlies all of Hertfordshire. Unfortunately, in recent times, with dry winters and hot summers, that aquifer has been reduced considerably. So in 2019, if we could ask people to do one thing, it would be to try and to save water wherever they can, because here in Hertfordshire, we use more water per person than almost anywhere in the country. So just saving water, stopping running the tap when you're brushing your teeth, having shorter showers, not having baths, having showers instead, all things that can be done. And thinking about the right plants to put in your garden that don't need so much watering can all help to save our globally rare endangered chalk rivers and all the wonderful wildlife that they support.
Great tip there from Tim Hill. And if you search for Affinity Water, water saving, they've got some great reminders on how to save water and, of course, save cash as well. And I particularly like the little video of Sarah from the environmental charity Hubbub explaining how much water she managed to save in her 5-day challenge. Now, I think we could all manage all of those steps without compromising our lifestyles at all. But Catherine Ross from Sustainable St. Thomas has a suggestion that is a little bit more challenging. Let's hear from her.
If people could do one thing, I think it would be trying to have one less flight in 2019. Because January is often the time when you're planning your holidays. And if you could cut out one flight this year, that would have probably more impact in terms of your carbon footprint than the sum of all the other changes you might make, because air travel is so carbon heavy.
It's so damaging. And you feel that climate change and emissions is, we should be putting that at the top of our agenda.
Yes, I mean, people think so hard about things like, you know, recycling this particular bit of plastic. But actually, in terms of the bigger picture, if you could cut back on flights, not necessarily stopping altogether, but just could you all have one alternative holiday this year? Or, you know, if you fly with work, could you displace one of those business trips by flight and instead have it over Skype? That would have a really big impact.
Yeah. And of course, lots of wonderful places that we can go that don't need us to fly to.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Catherine, thank you. And what I would say is that actually, in my experience, I have never been disappointed with trips within the UK, which often turn up some surprising gems that I didn't even know existed. And if you can't live without your foreign breaks, then the number of places in Europe that are easily accessible by rail is growing each year. And once you're under the Channel, then train travel becomes a positive treat. Now, if you'd rather not leave the future of the planet's climate to world leaders, but want to take more action yourself, then Catherine has news of a great speaker meeting coming up. So, Catherine, event Low Carbon Lifestyle. Who's running this event?
It's being run by Sustainable St Albans. It's one of our Planet, Our Future events.
OK. And this is a speaker meeting. Who's speaking at it?
We've got a speaker called Carolina Karlstrom, who's coming along to have an inspiring session on low-carbon lifestyle. Yeah. So Carolina is going to be discussing the sort of opportunities and challenges of trying to live a low-carbon lifestyle and hope to give people a bit of inspiration.
OK. I mean, it's a good time of year for that, isn't it? At the start of the year, kind of looking for New Year's resolutions and trying to do a little bit better in the new year. Is there anybody in particular it's aimed at?
It's aimed at the general public. So if you're thinking, I want to live a bit more green, tread a bit more lightly on the earth, and you're wondering how, then come along. And Carolina's philosophy is very much that no one can do everything, but we can all do something. So it's helping people think about, you know, what's the something that they could be doing. So there'll be guest speaker and then opportunities for questions and discussion and networking.
Okay, and that's always quite lively and often very interesting as well. So yeah. It's not a sort of a beating yourself up about doing things badly. This is going to be quite a positive meeting, it sounds
exactly.
like.
Exactly, thinking about what you can do.
Good, that sounds good. So go on then, practicalities, where, when, and do we have to pay for this?
It's on Monday the 14th of January. It starts at 7:30, so it runs 7:30 till 9:30, and it's in Harpenden at the Harpenden Arms on the High Street, and it's completely free, but it is good if you book in advance because we need to know numbers.
Brilliant. Catherine, thank you very much indeed. And I was talking there to Catherine Ross of Sustainable St Albans. Hope you found something to inspire in the programme this week. I'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.